I'm off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I'm off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. I'm off to travel the world, to go down to Nigeria, go to, where's that other place?
London,
and Switzerland, and Lugano, and all sorts of places around the world. And it's fun. And I leave today. So, it will be a joyous, wonderful journey. This time tomorrow, I will be in Switzerland. So, kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine if our early pioneers could have traveled so quickly. Because if they could have traveled so quickly, they would have had all the amenities, which are what we have today. But I will be going on a seminar tour talking about the miraculous new awareness. Yeah, the miraculous new awareness. The miraculous new awareness. That's a good term. The miraculous new awareness. Of what? Well, I have been, and I will be, talking about stem cells. But stem cells are not the point. Stem cells are not the issue. Science is getting deeper and deeper into stem cells and finding out that the stem cells are not really what are the problem or the cause or the solution. What really is the cause and the solution is our thought. Because they're finding that stem cells are all over our body. A stem cell is an undifferentiated cell. It's a cell waiting to be told what to do. The cell waiting to be told what its job is to do, how it's to work, what it's to function for. And we love to misdirect ourselves. We love to misdirect our stem cells. We love to misdirect our children. We love to misdirect our spouse or our lover. We love to misdirect our teachers and our students. Oh, teachers in school are misdirecting students something really terrible. They're saying, you got to learn this, you got to learn this, you got to learn this. And that's a lie. That's an out-and-out lie. You can reveal from within yourself all this knowledge, because every time you become aware of something, you say, oh, I see. And you always knew it, but you did not have your consciousness on it. You did not have your awareness on it. It's kind of interesting. And you see, this is what we do throughout life. And children ask questions of their parents, what about this, Mom? What about that? And Mom and Dad are all shook up because they don't know the answer. Not because what they're talking about is good or bad, but they don't know the answer. Mom, where do babies come from? Babies come from God. Well, that's true. But, Mom, who's God?
I.
Well, God's in cloud nine, you know, in the sky. No, Mom, who's God? I mean, I understood. I was watching the show on TV the other night, and it was a documentary, and it was telling how babies were born. And it showed how the sperm and the egg get together by daddy and mommy putting them together. And then mommy has in her uterus, she has this child growing in the womb. And then when the child is 9 months old, it pops out, you know, sometimes with the help of whatever. But then the umbilical cord is cut and the baby is ready to go. And he's on his own. With the help of the world around him, but he's on his own. Mama, where do babies come from? Well, son, that's a good question. Babies come from the thought of our mind. We think, wouldn't it be lovely to have a baby? Wouldn't it be lovely to have a child? Wouldn't it be? And you see, when parents are so blasé and so unimportant, now, Mama, when can I have a baby? Well, I'd like to think that you'd have a baby when you get married, because that's a good time to have a baby. Well, Mama, why can't I have a baby when I'm not married? Well, you can. You can very easily have a baby when you're not married. But the thing is, having a family, having a home, is sort of nice for the baby. You see, a baby is not just like a puppy dog that you can put in a kennel when you're going out of town or something like that, or leave it home alone to, you know, in its own little pen. Someone's got to be there to take care of it, you know. as a baby grows into a human being, into a mature being. And you see, as parents would explain these things in just logical, reasonable ways, the children would have that logical, reasonable way. Well, you see, nowadays sex is so flagrant, so commonly spoken about, that surely they do, but they don't do it in the right way. Don't you get your daughter, don't you go get yourself pregnant, you know, before you get married. Don't you go get yourself pregnant in this house, you know, or, you know, if you get pregnant, then I'll take care of the baby for you, you know, Mama says, and what have you. But you see, it's the wrong motivation. We should teach such a respect, such a respect for birth and for life and for living and for beings. We should teach how beautiful the body is, how beautiful the mind is, how beautiful the soul is. And that when you bring forth a child on this earth, you have brought forth a great opportunity for you to shine in that child and encourage that child to reveal all that that child is. Now, if you don't want to do that, you really shouldn't be having babies. Well, we can have babies, I mean, we can have sex without babies. Yeah, that's fine, but that's like eating too much candy, eating too much ice cream, you know, and various other things. There's a time to eat it. When's the best time to eat ice cream? Well, dessert usually, you know. And when's the best time to eat it? Well, I like an ice cream cone now and then. Well, that's fine. But stop and think, is ice cream ever really good for you? It's just all pure sugar. And it just makes your body hyper and does a lot of things to you. It's not evil, but it's not beneficial. Now, it's not like a good carrot, you know, or it's not like the good veggies or some other things. But, you see, this is what we teach. This is what we teach. And now, oh, shut up and give them a sucker to suck on, or a lucher, you know, to keep them quiet, to keep them out of the way. And it's a silly thing to do, isn't it? Yeah, it's a silly thing to do. But we do that. And then we wonder, then we have the audacity to wonder why our stem cells go haywire. Our stem cells go haywire because they have no guidance. Our stem cells are little babies that come into our life waiting for us to direct them and to tell them how to go and to say what we want from them. Now, you are born into this family, and so this is your life experience in your early years, this family. This family has certain programs and rules and ways of doing things, and that's what we do. So you teach that, or you share that with your child. And you don't say, you got to do this. You just say, this is what we do here. This is how we live. And the child grows and learns and follows, and the child has a good attitude toward following rules or having values, or a bad attitude to it. Now, it all depends on the parents, or it all depends on the family and how they share that with them as to whether the values are desirable or not desirable. Why do kids want to touch wet paint, you know? Because it's wet. Why do you want to climb a mountain? Because it's there. Well, those are all stupid reasons. Now, let's touch this paint and see that it's wet. See, that's wet. Now, if we touch paint when it's wet, we leave our fingerprints on it. And then everybody knows that that was us. Oh, they wouldn't know that's us. Well, if they wanted to, they could. What do you think? Don't make a big deal out of it. Just say, hey, if you touch the wet paint, it just tells you it's wet. Now, come on over here. Here's a red-hot stove. You want to touch that? Oh, no, I can see that that's red-hot. Uh-huh. The paint, you can't see that it's wet, but the stove, you can see that it's red-hot. So just think of the paint like a red-hot stove. And you don't need to test it. I would test it before I sat on it, you know. If you're going to sit down on the bench and you think that the bench might be so beautiful, so freshly painted, it might still be fresh. And so you check it. And in any event, if I saw a bench so beautifully painted, so freshly painted, I wouldn't want to sit there in the first place. I wouldn't want to take a chance that I have the imprint of the bench on my bottom of my pants, you know. But you see, these are just little values that we teach. Now, the stem cells are undifferentiated. The child is undifferentiated. The child is undifferentiated into what direction it's going to go. It goes into a home. It goes into a society. It goes into a world. And is that world good, bad, or indifferent? Now, What is the child going to get out of that? Whatever its environment places into it. The child will be superior to this environment, to be sure, but the environment will be its living conditions at that point. Shut him up. So, our stem cells are undifferentiated, and the stem cells do not know what to do, and they have to be told by their environment or by our thought what to do. Little children are like stem cells too. They come into this world undifferentiated. They don't know what family they're going to be in. They don't know what world they're going to be in. And they have to be taught about the world, the environment, and the family. And so we can really look at stem cells as a very beneficial thing if we want to use it in the proper way by putting a proper thought in motion about it. What do you want to do with your stem cells? What do you want them to do for you? Do you want your stem cells to be a balance for you, a joy for you? Then you be a balance and a joy for them. If you want your stem cells just to run rampant and get into trouble and run around with people that are not beneficial to them, then don't pay any attention to them. The stem cells are born, and they're sitting on top of the old stem cells, which now are eyes, ears, nose, and throat, and so forth. And they say, "I'm blue eyes." Well, now the new stem cells can come in, and they can say, "All right, I think we'll be gray eyes, or brown eyes, or yellow eyes, or whatever, you know." And they can do that. But the thing is, something has to cause them to look in that direction. Now, what would you say about your eyes? My eyes are perfect eyes. So you tell your stem cells, your eyes are perfect eyes. And so every stem cell born into your eyes say, perfect eyes. But if you're going to tell your stem cells you have to wear glasses, you have bad vision, you don't have 20/20 vision, you don't have the ideal vision, then that's what the stem cells are going to live and work with, as well as in any other area of your life. So that's our body stem cells now. They're undifferentiated, just waiting for you to tell them what to do. And the sooner you tell them what to do by your affirmations, by your statements of truth about yourself, the sooner you'll experience them in every beautiful way. So now, this next month, while I'm traveling to all the places of the world, maybe the girls on campus, the monks on campus, will give talks each day. Maybe. That'd be nice. But probably not, because I have put a cause in motion that the girls on campus, the monks, are lazy, and they don't want to give talks, and they don't want to have their voice sent out with love to all the people of the world. But who knows? Let's put a new cause in motion, and let's shake up their stem cells so that they get out there and put nice talks on Thought for Today, Instant Illumination, Absolute Philosopher, Mr. Candle, you know, all these wonderful things. Wouldn't that be fun? I think it would. Well, until I see you later, or until I send articles in and are put onto the internet, it's adios for now, and I love you. I love you. I love you.